Everybody, welcome to our service this morning. Welcome if you're online. There's a big crowd online this morning. Psalm 47 says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. What a wonderful reminder that is, that God is the King over all the earth. And as we gather this morning, we do indeed come to sing praise to him and to exalt his name. So let's do that this morning. Our first hymn. He's a wonderful old hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Reminds us of God's faithfulness to us. It's number 14 in the songbook if you're following along online. Great is thy faithfulness. So if you like to stand, we'll sing this together. Let me lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day that you have given us. And we thank you for your mercies to us, which are new and fresh every morning. We thank you for each day that you give us on this earth. Father, each day is a gift from you. We thank you that you give us everything that we need to sustain us, to guide us, and to grow us. And so, Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your plan of redemption, the promises that you have made in your word, and that you deliver on everything that you have promised. Father, we know that too often we are faithless, that we do not trust you with all of our heart and soul and mind. Father, we believe that we are better than we actually are. And Father, we thank you that you are still faithful, that you are still loving and caring toward us. Father, we know that at times we drift into doubt and wonder. But Lord, we thank you that you are faithful in those times and that you carry us. And Father, we do come before you this morning, seeking once again your mercy upon us to reflect on the last week and the things that we have done and the things that we have not done. Father, we realize that we have offended you, that we have done wrong against you. And so, Father, we come seeking your mercy and seeking your forgiveness. Father, we realize that your requirements are very high. And Father, we too often fall far short. But we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who perfectly keeps your standards and your laws. We thank you that we can gain his righteousness through faith in him. And that enables us to stand before you and to seek cleansing and forgiveness. So, Father, as we come this morning, we come with thankful hearts. We come with praise. We come to exalt your name, to be reminded that this is your world, that you are king of this world, that you sit enthroned on high in this world, that you are the Creator God, and we are your creation. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for being faithful to us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning is Psalm 111. We are on page 434 if you're following along in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 111. Psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. I will exalt the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Amen. new seat was there at the back as you walked in. A few announcements for this week. So Tuesday, the committee of management will meet at 7:30 over in Henty. On Thursday, there's a men's Bible study. We're going to start looking at 2 Corinthians, and the 7:30 on Thursday, and it's online for that one. Our Henty Kids Club is on this week, 21st of June, for kids in K to 6. On Saturday, the 22nd of June, so that's this Saturday, Equip Women up in Sydney are doing their live stream on Revelation. They're having their conference in Sydney and it is being live streamed. And we can pick up the live stream. So if you're interested in coming on, it's Saturday, sort of 9 till 3:30. Di Janetsky over at Henty, she's the person who's organising that. If you want to listen in to some wonderful Bible teaching on Revelation chapters 1 to 5. So that's this Saturday. Now, on Sunday, the 30th of June, so that's not next Sunday, that's the following Sunday. That Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month. And what happens on the fifth Sunday of the month is we have these combined services and we rotate between the churches. So we had one here at Easter and we hosted it. The next one will be at the Uniting Church on Sunday and it'll be at 10 a.m. And then the next fifth Sunday, I think, is September and the Anglicans will host. And I think we're forgetting about December this year because that's when it falls. So it's going to be 10 a.m. up at the Uniting Church. There'll be no service here. If you're online, there will be no online service either. So we're all going up to the Uniting Church at 10 a.m. on Sunday, the 30th of June for that one. And then a little bit further down the track, a couple of weekends after, is our men's camp up at Yakandanda. It's always a good weekend up at Yak. It's nice and cold up there. It's a great time of fellowship. It's our men's camp. Simon Manchester is a well-known speaker. He's coming to speak to us this year. So if you're interested in that, talk to me and I can give you some more information on that one as well. And that's all the announcements I have for this week. Okay, I'm seeing that the average age is quite high this morning. So I'll need your help this morning. So up on the board, I have underneath my clues, I have the message for this morning. And I've given you six clues, and I'll give you a bit of a tip. These are things that God provides for us. So what we're going to do is you get to pick a box, pick a clue, a picture will come up, we'll work out what the picture means, and then we'll reveal and we'll see if we can get to what the message this morning is about. So who'd like to be brave and have a pick of my board? Number two. So click on two. Okay, what's that a picture of? A house. What do you need a house for? Living, yeah. Shelter. Well done. So God gives us shelter. Can you click on the picture, please, Amy? Okay. Who'd like to pick my board? 5. Thank you, Ross. Okay. Now, what's that a picture of? What's going on in that picture? Yeah. What's he dreaming of? Stuff. Stuff. So think of the pictures. He's something and he's something. So he's sick and he is getting better. That's right. So sometimes God actually heals us. So he gives us shelter and sometimes, not always, but he gives us healing. All right. There we go. All right. Who'd like to pick another one? Number three. Oh, okay. I needed to make that picture bigger. Now, what's going on in that picture? We've got a man and he's got all sorts of other bits around it that he has to sort of wear. Yes, well done. Well done, Rod's protection. God gives us shelter, he heals us, and he protects us. All right. Someone want to pick again? Someone? Number? 4, thank you. 4. Okay, what's going on in that picture? Weather, yes, that'll do. Rain and wind. Rain and wind. God sends the rain and the wind. All right, take that away. All right. Pick again. Number one. I heard number one. What's that all about? Yes, food. God gives us our food. And take number six. What's going on in that picture? Yes, praise, encouragement. Okay, what's the answer? What's our message for this morning? Very good. Very good. You can read upside down. Hit it, eh? All these things, our food, our protection, our encouragement, all these things come from God. That's the key thing of our message this morning. Next one. So, that being true, can we complete the rest of the phrase? Yeah, first letter and, yep, and first and the last on the bottom one. On the end one, Amy. That'll be right. Yes, thank you, Steve. Exactly. Fill it in, Amy. Okay. God provides all these things, which means that he can be trusted. Okay. Now, it's all very well to say, well, you know, God provides these things so that he can be trusted, but there's actually two other ways that we can know for sure that he can actually be trusted, even when those things don't kind of work out, like our healing and those sorts of things. So go to the next one. So one of the ways we know God's trustworthy is because we've obviously read about in his word and he's proven he's trustworthy. But ultimately, we know God is also trustworthy because of what he's done for us in Jesus. If you think about what he's done and the promises he's made to us in Jesus, do you think God was going to look after us by giving us food and the rain when we need it? Of course he is. That's why we can trust him. That's our talk, kids talk for this morning. So we read Psalm 111 this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing it. And our friends have put this to a really nice tune. And as we ponder these words, hopefully you'll see as we go through it, God's provision for his people, the things that God does for his people because he cares and he loves his people. So if you'd like to stand in the church, we'll have a go at singing Psalm 111.
With my whole heart, I give thanks to the Lord in the presence of those who love him. His works are great and great the reward to all who delight in them. Majestic and glorious are his deeds, forever his righteousness stands. So fear the Lord, he'll meet all your needs. He works with compassionate hands. Forever his praises endure. The power of his works he has shown to us by giving the land to his sons. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Lord leaves nothing undone. Ask for his wisdom all of your days. Fear the Lord's rule in your heart. Obey his commands and walk in his ways. His knowledge will never depart. Oh,
Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you that holy and awesome is your name. That you are the God who is to be exalted. You are the God who does amazing things. Amazing things for your people who are so undeserving. Lord, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The work of your hands are faithful and just. You provide food for those who fear you, and you remember your covenant forever. Heavenly Father, we long to live rightfully under your rule. But Lord, so often we find that difficult, particularly in the world in which we live. And so we pray this morning that you might help us to fear you, because fearing you is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we need your wisdom and your guidance and your direction in our lives to live lives well in this world, to be able to honor you as you should be honored, to praise you as we should. Father, we know that our world squeezes us time after time after time, that our world tries to offer us a better way, a funner way, a way which we can be potentially satisfied. But Lord, we know that we can only be satisfied in you alone and following you. And Lord, that the ways of the world are not only foolish, they lead to death. And yet, Father, the path to life is through Jesus. So, Lord, please help us as we live in this world. Please help us to be lights that you call us to be. Please help us to stand firm against temptation, standing firm with the full armor of God, dressed, ready to stand, so that when the enemy throws arrows at us and causes us to doubt and to trust, Father, that we can put up our shield of faith and say, no, that's not correct. Heavenly Father, please help us as we deal with the difficulties of life. Father, there are many in our congregation this day who are sick, have come down with COVID, have come down with the flu. We pray this day that you would draw near to them and comfort them. Father, we know there are people in our congregation who are recovering from serious operations, serious medical conditions. Father, we pray that you would help them to recover fully. Their recovery might be speedy, that you would supply in your grace full healing. Father, we know that there are people in our congregation who are struggling. Father, that could be because it's just cold, people struggling with their job, their finances. Father, people who are struggling with difficult family relations. Father, we pray that your providing hand would come upon them, that they may know your presence with them. Father, we pray that you might continue to teach us how to love you, but Lord, also how that we might love others, how we might bear with one another's burdens, how we might live at peace with one another, how we might encourage one another as we see the day of Christ approaching. Father, we pray that your Spirit might work in our lives, that we might become more patient, more kind, more self-controlled. That, Father, we might know the joy of the Lord, and that each day the joy of the Lord might be our strength. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing on our church, the many ministries which take place in our church, many opportunities that we have to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you might, in your mercy, be pleased to grow our number, that we too might see people turn and bow their knee and come and sit under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray these things this morning. Amen. This morning we are continuing in our series in Acts, and we're up to Acts chapter 28. And we're going to read the first 16 verses together. We're on page 794 if you're following along in the church Bibles. This is Acts chapter 28, and we're beginning at verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, "He is a god. He was a god." There was a snake nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us as his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in the ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods of Castor and Pollux. We put in at Cyprus and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up. On the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. This is God's word to us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you might again, in your grace, speak to us, that you might indeed encourage our hearts to see the God that you are, and how you want us to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mobber is probably not a term you are familiar with, but it stands for the Museum of Bad Art. It's a privately owned museum whose stated aim is, quote, to celebrate the labor of artists whose work would be displayed and appreciated in no other forum, end of quote. Now, founded in 1993, its gallery is located in Massachusetts in the US, and its permanent collection includes over 700 pieces of art too bad to be ignored, 25 to 35 of which are on public display at any one time. Now, although the museum's motto is art too bad to be ignored, MOBA holds rigorous standards as to what they will accept. And according to the museum, quote, 9 out of 10 pieces don't get in because they're not bad enough. What an artist considers to be bad doesn't always meet our low standards, end quote. Now, what is a good standard of art can often cause controversy. And this morning, I want you to be the judge as I take you on a tour of a gallery which houses the special exhibition of Dr. Luke on Acts 28, 1 to 16. Now, while some of the pieces in the collection may not be spectacular, they certainly are significant. While some pieces may not be masterpieces by themselves, put together they form a stunning picture. Some pieces are very detailed, others not so. Some pieces are more colourful and skillful than others, but every piece tells a story which has direct relevance for our own lives. Now, the background to this collection is found in Acts 27, which we studied last week. There we saw how God led Paul through a storm of life, a physical storm, which saw his ship being battered and then run aground on an island. And the traveling party were wet, they were cold, they were hungry, but everyone on that ship, all 276 people, reached land safely. It was a traumatic experience. As we saw last week, Paul anchored himself to God. He anchored himself by knowing God's presence. He anchored himself by knowing that he belonged to God. He also anchored himself by trusting God in all circumstances. Our tour this morning is the next part of what we find in the narrative. And normally we would have 3 points and then some application. Sometimes we have 2 points and sometimes we have 4. But this morning we have one simple point, which is this. God's gracious hand is over all elements of our lives. God's gracious hand is over all elements of our lives. God's kind and loving fingers are at work at every part of our life. God works in unexpected ways for our good, which we should in turn give thanks for. And that's our main theme for our tour this morning, and I want to show that to you with 10 exhibits. That's right, 10 paintings, which will spell this out. So let's go. Exhibit A, entitled, We Are Safe. We Are Safe. Very first verse of the passage. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Luke says in the last verse of the previous chapter that everybody reached land safely. Some jumped overboard and swam to shore. Luke also says that the rest got there on planks or pieces of the ship that had broken off. Remember, they ran the boat into the sandbar and the stern broke apart due to the raging of the surf. Yet despite all of this, everyone made it safely to shore. I'd have to rate it's one of the most epic survivor stories ever told. Luke says they'd actually given up all hope of being saved at one point. And here they are, with their lives intact, standing on safe ground. Who was watching over them to make sure that happened? Now, of course, they had survived, but that doesn't mean that they're out of trouble yet. Their destination for Paul is Rome. They're still a long way from that. But here they are, alive, under the grace of God. Exhibit B, entitled Unusual Kindness. Unusual Kindness. Verse 2. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. When they ran the boat aground, they did not recognize the land, but they found out later it was called Malta. Now, the natives of Malta, they were called barbarians by the Greeks, because the Greeks considered anyone who wasn't Greek or Jewish to be barbarian. The locals had every right to be wary and cautious of the people who had just turned up on their island. But instead, they showed unusual kindness, a real love for humanity. They not only welcomed the survivors, but they built a fire while the rain poured down. Who organized that, I wonder? God surely had something to do with it. One of the things I find refreshing is when you go to another church as a visitor and someone invites you around for lunch and shows you some hospitality. But it even means more to me when I can see that they've really put themselves out to make that happen. It shows a real love and kindness, one that you can only rejoice and give thanks to God for. Exhibit C, entitled The Hand of Protection. The Hand of Protection. Verse 3. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Now remember, it's winter. When it's cold, the chances of a snake bite are low. All of a sudden, the viper's hit with a wall of heat, so it's naturally going to react. Now, unfortunately, this passage has been used and abused over the years. Some people say this never happened because there's no snakes on the island of Malta, which is true. If you go to Malta today, you won't find a snake. But research from antiquity actually shows that snakes did used to inhabit the island, but they're no longer there because the humans had actually moved in. Another reason people say this never happened is because vipers do not strike. They hold on and they don't strike and hold on to their victims. They strike suddenly and they pull back with their fangs. But we do have many examples of vipers getting their fangs caught on clothing and boots and not letting go. Another reason is because the natives wrongly identified the snake as a viper. Now, it's a shame people who hold these views know very little about the fauna and flora on the island, but yet they are actually prepared to doubt eyewitnesses. Problem with all these theories is they start at the wrong point. They're looking for a way to disprove the text so they don't have to believe its accuracy. But as Christians, we believe in the accuracy of Scripture because of its author, who is God. And that's why we believe the text as it is written. No, there's a very simple explanation as to what happened to Paul here. It's called a miracle. What happened was the intervention of Almighty God. Even the locals, after Paul survived, thought that he was a god. That was after the initial conclusion they came to, which was Paul was a murderer. And on both accounts, they were wrong. But that's what people do. They jump to all sorts of conclusions. And that's why this becomes a key text for so-called religious snake handlers, that God will protect all the Christians from such danger, and therefore it's perfectly acceptable to play with snakes. Now, that's all fine in theory, but what do we do when Christians do die of snake bites? Is God to blame for that, for not keeping his promise? Is the person to blame because they either weren't really a Christian or they didn't have enough faith? How do we explain bad things happening to Christians? That's why the islanders initially thought Paul was a murderer. When bad things happen, it must be because people deserve them. Bad things happening to people are God's evidence of punishment. And so when Paul survived, they had to change their assumption. He must have some sort of special power, and so he must be a god. So how do we explain bad things and the suffering which happened to people, particularly Christians? Well, there are a number of things we can say here. Firstly, Christians live in a fallen world. Sin affects this world and Christians are not immune from it. Creation longs to be redeemed and our hope as Christians is a better world. Evil is in our world and sometimes Christians get caught up in it. But we also need to say that sometimes God allows such things for our good. It could be because we need a mid-course direction. God needs to push us back on track. It may be because we need to grow into maturity. Without some pain, there is no gain. Sometimes we need discipline. Sometimes God treats us in a restorative and constructive way. But there's also something else to keep in mind. In John 9, Jesus and his disciples were walking along and they met a man born blind. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "And neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Just like in the case of Job and here, some suffering or difficulties from God have no discernible explanation. God gives us no reason for the trial other than to say, "I am at work. Will you trust me?" As God said through the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Our job is to trust. Our faith is to be in a strong and mighty and wise God who knows what is best for us. Luke does not tell us about whether Paul then went on to speak the gospel to the locals. One thing for sure is that they were affected by what they saw, and God would have used that in some way. Well, we'd better get a move on in this tour. Exhibit D, generous hospitality. Generous hospitality. We're down in verse 7. "There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island, and he welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. The chief man of the island hosts Paul and his companions for 3 days. He took them in. He showed them immense hospitality." How did all that come about? Exhibit E, sickness no more. Sickness no more. Verse 8, "His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him." Now, according to others who have written on this, what Publius' father had was likely caused by a microbe in goat's milk and was often the cause of fever on Malta. But this fever often lasted months and even years. Paul laid his hands on the man and he was healed. Who was it that healed him? Well, Paul laid hands, yes, but it was the power of God and his mercy and kindness which caused the man to be healed. Exhibit F, provisions, provisions. Verse 10, "They honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed." Paul was a blessing to those on the island, but in return, he and his party, they were given supplies that were needed to get them going on their journey again. They arrived with nothing, but were sent away with the plenty and the supply from the storehouse of heaven. However, it's one thing to have everything ready to sail, but a critical thing for sailing is wind. Enter Exhibit G, when the winds blow. Verse 13, "From there we set sail and arrived at Regium. The next day the south wind came up. On the following day we reached Puteoli." So if you look at the map, after leaving Malta, they sailed up the east coast of what we know as Sicily. They made a few stops along the way, namely Cyprus and Regium and Puteoli. But from Regium to Puteoli was a distance of about 180 miles. And because of the wind that came up, they were able to cover the ground in 2 days. Who is it that caused the wind to blow in the right direction? Once more, the Lord provided what was needed to ensure that Paul got to Rome. And that leads us to the feature piece in our collection, Exhibit H, "And here we are." And here we are. One that if you've been on the journey with us in Acts, you would know all too well. We've seen time and time again that Paul was to go to Rome. 3 trials and a shipwreck, and now the moment has arrived. Verse 14, there we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. It sounds like a throwaway line from Luke. Oh, and by the way, we came to Rome. But this is a significant moment. Paul had announced his grand ambition to reach the city of Rome way back when he was in Ephesus in chapter 19. That was 7 or 8 years ago, depending on how you count it. God reaffirmed this in chapter 23, and now here we are. Paul is standing on a Roman territory ready to testify. Now, if you look down in verse 16, Luke records when we got to Rome. Why does he mention Rome twice? Well, could that be emphasis? Possibly. But a better suggestion is that Rome had a double meaning. One, its administrative district, and the other, the actual city itself. So at long, long last, Paul had arrived at his destination. He'd arrived by the providence of God. God's plans and purposes had been fulfilled in his perfect timing. And in one sense, we should not be surprised. When we read the Old Testament, we see again and again God promising to send a Savior. Detailed promises which found their fulfillment in the coming of Jesus. God had said through the prophet Isaiah that his servant would be pierced and crushed for transgression and iniquities, that the Lord would lay on him all our iniquity, and by his wounds we would be healed. By the spilling of the blood of the promised Savior, we would be forgiven. And by his resurrection, we would see the light of life. God promised all this and delivered it in Jesus, so that all who trust and believe in him might receive forgiveness and eternal life. God promised and delivered. And if God delivered on the most important issue ever, his plan of redemption for his people who have turned their back on him, don't you think God can be trusted on everything else? If God promises to give us the beach house with scenic views and hands us the keys, don't you think he would deliver on the promise of a lawnmower to keep the grass cut? God always keeps his promises, even when we're tempted to think that God will not. And following on from this, we need to be reminded that everyone who is in Christ has a manifest destiny. And God, in his timing and good purposes, will bring each one to it. As Christians, we don't believe our destiny is in the hands of blind fate or arbitrary deities. This is God's world, and we live in it as his children. And so when the storms of life come in, which we looked at last week, and we start to lose courage and give up hope, thinking that the hand of God has let us go, just spend a moment thinking about the Apostle Paul who landed on Roman soil. We're in the palm of God's hand, and he will never let us go. Well, time has almost ticked away, but we're almost at the end of our tour, and we have two exhibits remaining, I and J, which we find in 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, the brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. And at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself and a soldier to guard him. On the left there, exhibit I, the encouragement of other brothers in Christ. A delegation had come down from Rome to see Paul. 33 miles they traveled just to see the apostle and his companions. What a remarkable testimony for Paul and for Luke. The mere presence of fellow believers offering love and fellowship is a testimony of Jesus' likeness. And it's no wonder Paul's response was to thank God and to take courage. And then on the right is exhibit J, a generous imprisonment. Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Now, normally two soldiers would be assigned rather than one. And that probably means in all likelihood he'd stayed in rented quarters with the tab being picked up by the Christians in the area. There seems to be no concern that Paul will escape. And rather than being kept in chains in prison, he's now living under house arrest. People could easily see him, and he could be a witness to the gospel. As he wrote to the his letter to the Philippian church. I want you to know, brothers, he says, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else, I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Well, I hope that you enjoyed the tour. As you leave, you might like to take one of our teaching brochures with a summary of our exhibition on it. It reminds you that God can be taken at his word. God told Paul he would reach Rome, and he did. God told Paul no lives would be lost, and none were. God told Paul the ship would run aground, and it did. God's word can be trusted because God can be trusted. And he will supply and provide and deliver everything we need so that his will be accomplished. Whether that be encouragements from others, hospitality, or whatever else is needed, it will arrive when it is needed. Our job is to keep trusting, to keep walking, to keep looking to him. Because if he did it for Paul, we can have confidence he will do it for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that time and time again, as we read and study your word, we can trust that you are the God who will provide, that you've provided everything we need for salvation in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that we would look to you and trust you in all things, that we would not try and trust ourselves or our better judgment, but that we would look to you and know that you are there and that you will provide all that we ever need. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, that wonderful old hymn. May that be our prayer. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. It's number 15 if you're following along on the songbook online. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing this together.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Feed me now. Songs of praises, songs.
says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And may the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the important bit, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thank you for joining us online this morning. We'll have morning tea over in the hall. Collection box is at the back, and we'll see you next week.